Here's something to challenge you. Violence can be both civilised and civilising. Not a brawl outside a pub, that's not what we're talking about, but styles of fighting that can form character. With me now to explain the ideas behind civilised fighting is Dr. Damon Young, philosopher at the University of Melbourne. Damon's just co-edited a book called Martial Arts and Philosophy, Beating and Nothingness. Welcome back to Life Matters, Damon.
Thank you.
Civilised and civilised violence, what are you really talking about here?
Well, I suppose in the first case, civilised in that they have codes, they have etiquette that's very important, and they have quite strong philosophical traditions. You know, these are often martial arts deeply grounded in ideas and arguments about ideas. So that's how they're civilised. It's not just a sort of chaotic free-for-all. They're civilising in that they cultivate virtues like patience, like respect. They channel violence so it can be understood, recognised, managed, and building trust and cooperation. But they're also civilising in that they are philosophically very interesting. They actually make fascinating case studies to think about.
How are they philosophically interesting?
Well, let's take one example. One of the very strong themes in the Japanese martial arts is this notion of no mind, no-mindedness. And this doesn't mean kind of being completely vacant or, you know, wiped out on whiskey, although occasionally martial artists might be known to do that, like everyone. Rather, it's a kind of spontaneous awareness, a state of mind where you're not calculating, you're not thinking explicitly, and yet there's purpose and there's deliberation. And this is fascinating for philosophers because here we have something that's obviously rational. So when you're in a fight, you're not really thinking, but you are responding in a rational way to a threat. But how can we talk about responsibility if someone's not deliberately doing something? How can we talk about moral blame? And also, what does it mean to think or act in these situations when it's all sort of spontaneous and intuitive? So, I mean, that's enough to keep philosophers of mind arguing for years.
But your interest is not just as a philosopher. You are, or you certainly have been, a practitioner. You're a black belt in a form of karate, I understand.
Yes, that's right.
What has that and an interest, which I think has included judo in the past, contributed to the development of your character, do you think?
The most obvious thing is a bad neck, which is, you know, that's built character along with some scar tissue. But let's take virtues, because I think this is very important to questions about morality. In order to learn martial arts, you have to be patient, for example. You can't just rush in and acquire these skills. You have to learn it step by step, bit by bit. And it's obvious when you're not learning them because you get hit or you get choked or you get thrown. So you learn to be patient. That's been very helpful as a philosopher, learning to sort of know that I have to work through these things one step at a time. Another thing is honesty. You can't lie your way out of the martial arts. You either have the skills or you don't. You either get thrown or you don't. Your punches hit home or they're deflected. This gets you used to being straightforward about what your skills are, what your place in the world is. Perhaps the most important one, though, is a combination of trust and cooperation. Now, if you think about this, if you think about adults fighting with one another, it's a potentially very dangerous situation. You're dealing with techniques that can maim or at least wound seriously. You have to be able to trust each other, and that goes from some of the karate I practice, where you had to learn to pull your punches or stop punching immediately when you made contact, to some of the mixed martial arts that we might see in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Now, this looks like a full-on brawl, but these guys still have to restrain themselves. They still have to stop when their opponent taps, and in training, they can't go overboard. They have to respect their opponents. So this really does build an incredibly intimate kind of trust, and it's like nothing I've ever experienced. You have to be able to cooperate within this context of violence.
When you say martial arts, I have this vague idea of the philosophical underpinnings of the Eastern martial arts, karate and kung fu and taekwondo. I understand that. But what about, I mean, to then talk about those sort of ultimate fighting competitions, which are renowned for their kind of bloodthirstiness and seemingly no rules. And,
yes.
I notice you haven't mentioned boxing either. I mean, can you put them really all in the same tent?
I think you can, yeah. I mean, obviously there are extremes, but let's take the Ultimate Fighting Championship. I think a lot of people wince at this because it looks particularly brutal, but that is what full contact fighting looks like. And if you take any style, whether it's karate or even tai chi, which you might see grandmothers doing in the park, each of those has full contact versions. Because that is how you test your techniques against a resisting opponent. That's how you know they work. And that was actually the impetus behind the UFC was, well, people said, we don't believe that arts that are just about striking work anymore. We think grappling's really important. Let's introduce grappling in it's not no holds barred, but it is a full contact environment.
But
and that demonstrated that in fact, grappling was very effective.
What I'm thinking, I suppose, is that karate and judo, taekwondo, and their like, they're codified. They have a kind of ancient history behind them.
Yes.
Whereas Ultimate Fighting Championships are surely about beating the shit out of one another.
Okay. First of all, as I was saying, most of these ancient arts do have their full contact versions, and they're no less ancient for that. It doesn't take away from the virtues when you fight full contact. But the second thing is, the Ultimate Fighting Championship is a competition. It's not a style. And mixed martial arts is a rule set. So you actually find within mixed martial arts people who do traditional martial arts. They do judo, they do karate, they do kung fu, they do jiu-jitsu. Now, yes, it's a young sport, but the roots of this particular competition are very deep. And moreover, it does have a very important rule set that is applied very strictly. But it also has courtesy. It also has patience and trust, or the fighters would never make it to the ring. So we only see the glitz, the glamour, the hype and the blood. But behind this are years and years of patient, courteous cooperation. These guys have the sparring partners they work with, their coaches, their mentors, and all of this is a very close-knit, often quite thoughtful process.
I don't imagine too many of them are philosophers, though, but are there many scholars who fight?
Oh, certainly, yeah. I mean, if you look at the volume we've just edited, everyone in the volume is a scholar, a philosopher, and everyone has practiced martial arts. There are people who've done mixed martial arts. There are people who've done Muay Thai, that is Thai boxing. There are people who've done Kung Fu, Aikido. I think the problem is we seem to have this idea that violence and the martial arts are opposed to a life of the mind. But in fact, if we look at the beginnings of philosophy with Plato, they are actually united. Plato was a martial artist. He was a wrestler. And he actually thought wrestling was something that helped to discipline the mind, to overcome our irrational elements. And this is something I still find today. This is really relevant. I understand my irrationality better as a philosopher, having done martial arts.
On Life Matters today, Damon Young, the philosopher and martial artist, is with us. We are talking about some of the areas that he traverses in a book he's co-edited. It's called Martial Arts and Philosophy, Beating and Nothingness, a title I may be one of the titles of the year. Actually, you mentioned Plato, Damon.
Yes.
But actually, that wasn't his real name. That was kind of like Hulk Hogan or something. It was his nom de guerre.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it meant broad, as in broad-shouldered, and it was his wrestling nickname. And what's interesting is that when Plato grew up, he didn't leave wrestling behind. He didn't look back and say, no, it's disgraceful. I was dirty and sweaty and mad. What he said was, the scholars and the intellectuals in my ideal society should do wrestling. And he actually thought the struggle to cultivate a good soul was very much like the struggle in wrestling. to overcome your irrationality, your fears, your pettier elements, and learn how to be stronger and more independent.
Most martial arts that we're talking about come from Eastern philosophies, Aikido and Judo and Taekwondo and Kung Fu. Mm. And fighting does form part of a broader philosophy in a very explicit way.
Yes. Yes. And I suppose what's fascinating is the commonalities between a lot of the traditions. So you find that courtesy, for example, is something that appears again and again, regardless of the style. And it seems counterintuitive. Why? What the hell has fighting got to do with etiquette? But in fact, it's right at the heart of it. It's the courtesy of sincerely fighting an opponent rather than playing with them or being cruel. It's the courtesy of knowing when to bow, when to touch gloves, what the right thing to do is in the right circumstances, whether it's a formal karate dojo or even the boxing ring. And it's also, if I can be a little bit controversial, it's the courtesy of knowing when to hit someone. And I know that when I was a very young black belt, I was even more of an egomaniac than I am now. And I needed someone to give me a good smack in the nose, a good knee in the ribs, to sort of remind me of my place in the world. You know, that I wasn't invincible, that I wasn't unbeatable, and to sort of beat the ego out of me a little bit. And this may seem brutal, and it certainly might seem vulgar, but it's actually at the heart of some philosophical traditions like Zen Buddhism, the idea that sometimes a strike is what's needed to jolt you out of your delusion.
It makes me think, actually, rather than of brutality, of something like James Bond would say. Think of it as a courtesy, as he smacks someone in the face. But, I mean, you've been on the other end of that too, haven't you? You've been, when you were like a brown belt on your way up, dealing with a yellow belt who obviously had less skill than you, you've kind of, I suppose, hit that person and learnt something from it.
Yeah, that's right. I was in a position to do pretty much whatever I liked to this chap, and I was a little bit bored, to be honest, because it was too easy, and this is one of the things in any field, when there's no challenge, it can be very easy to get bored and slip up. And I hit him too hard in the wrong place and I hurt him. And it's interesting what I didn't do. I didn't go around jumping and say, hey, got ya. But nor did I sort of burst into tears and vow to dedicate myself to his life from now on. Mm. I stood off to the side. I sat down with my face away from him toward the wall, which is part of the ritual in karate. That's what you do when you hurt someone. Now, that's actually a fascinating Confucian message. It's about knowing what the right thing to do is at the right time and place. It's about knowing the right rituals, how to express your sorrow, how to express how you feel, but without too little or too much. It really is a kind of applied virtue philosophy. And I didn't realize that at the time as a teenager, but looking back now and reading the Confucian Analects, I can see this is a thoroughly Confucian message.
What about women, Damon? Because one tends to think of this as something that men do, and men are certainly more interested in combative things than women. But boxing has become more popular for women, especially for fitness.
Yes. Yes. First of all, I think it's a furphy that women are naturally less interested in this sort of thing. I think a lot of women are raised that way, and I think there are all sorts of implicit and explicit messages that say girls are not supposed to participate in violence or enjoy it. But yes, I'd like to think times are changing. There's Misha Mirza's fantastic book on her experiences of boxing.
We've had her on the show talking about that, actually.
Yeah, and she's a very articulate and keen-minded defender of the sport and also what it offered her. But I think her story is replayed in sort of thousands of boxing halls and jiu-jitsu clubs and judo halls all over the world. There are women who make the point, obvious, that there is nothing unfeminine about cultivating physical virtues like courage and this kind of discipline. It's actually a very human virtue, not a masculine one.
And indeed, there's a chapter on feminism and martial arts in the book. I have to ask before we wrap things up, you mentioned the injury. Are your fighting days behind you now?
That's a very good question. My judo days may well be behind me, which is a terrible shame because it's a marvellous, very philosophical sport. But I have spent the past 5 years getting my fitness up, and I am hoping to get back into it. It's just a question of finding the right club and the right teacher and asking my wife very politely if she minds.
All right. Well, good luck with that. And thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Damon Young, edited a book on the subject, co-edited with Graham Priest. It's called Martial Arts and Philosophy, Beating and Nothingness. It's published by Open Court. And Damon, this one's for you.